Okay, I'd like to get started now.
Is this microphone working? Yep. Okay.
Right, so last time I talked to you about lists and list comprehensions. And this is one way of writing programs that do things with lists. It's a quite compact notation for defining functions. Okay, you just say what's to happen to all the elements in the list. You just say it and to produce another list and away it goes. Okay, so this is one of the ways to write programs on lists. And if you go and look at your tutorial exercises for this week, about half of it is about writing functions like this. Okay, the other half of it's about writing functions a different way, which I'm about to explain. Okay, and then the third half is about testing that they give the same answer. Okay, using quick check. So I've shown you quick check already. Quick check is this program which allows you to test your Haskell programs to see if they satisfy a property that you express itself as a program. And so we've got here two ways of computing the sum of the squares of the odd numbers in a list, and we have at the bottom a property which takes a list of integers and tells you whether one way of producing the answer gives the same answer as the other way of producing the answer. And I showed you how that you could very quickly test to see whether it worked on 100 randomly chosen values. Okay, before I leave that, let me just recommend that you use quick check even more than it will be appearing in your tutorial exercises. So it really is a good way to make sure that your programs, it doesn't guarantee that your programs work if it passes quick check, but at least it gives you a fair degree of confidence, choosing 100 random tests is a lot better than you'll be able to do by typing it in really quickly yourself. Okay, so that's that. Are there any questions at this point, by the way? No? Okay. Okay, so what I want to talk about now is recursion. We've learned this method of computing with lists, which I describe, whoosh, okay, just does it all at once, right? Now we're going to look at an element at a time method, and it's called recursion. This is the functional programming way of processing things one element at a time. It's analogous to loops in conventional programming languages. Okay, there are some things. So a reason why you have to know about both of these things is that there are some things you can't write using comprehensions. When you can write them using comprehensions, it's quite a nice way to do it because it's a very compact, easy to read way of writing programs. But recursion is more powerful. With recursion, you can express anything. And I mean that actually in a very precise sense. The word anything here, express anything, it's actually a deep theorem about computing you may well have heard of Alan Turing. He had his 100th birthday this year. There were various TV programs about him, sort of pioneer of computing. He invented, one of the things he did was invent a model of computation called the Turing machine. And one notion of what it means to be able to compute things is, can it be computed by this model of computation? You'll be learning about this stuff later in informatics, okay? So Turing machine is one possible way of describing what it means to be able to compute things in principle. Okay, and it turns out that recursive definability, you can prove using mathematics that that's exactly the same as Turing computability. Okay, so what I'm describing here is actually powerful enough to describe any function that you can compute with a computer. And that's called the Church-Turing thesis. Turing is responsible for the Turing machine part, and Church is responsible for the recursive definability part. Okay, a little interlude about background. Okay, so before I get to recursion, I'll just have to tell you a little bit more about lists. There are two functions on lists that you need to know about, actually more than two, but here are two.
cons and append, and they're both written using symbols. Okay, cons is the first one, pronounced cons. It's sort of short for construct, and it takes an element and a list, and produces a list. And the list that it produces is the list that you get by putting that element onto the front of that list. Okay, example being here. Okay, I'll point with the cursor rather than with the laser pointer. I don't know which of these is more visible, but from where I'm standing, the cursor, the little hand there, is easier to see. Is that okay? Okay, so here's an example. I'm taking one. These are both, by the way, infix functions, so they're used in between the arguments. Okay, so one, we read this one cons, a list containing 2 and 3 gives a list containing 1, 2, and 3. Okay, so it sticks that element onto the front of the list. Okay, real easy. Okay, called cons, written using a colon.
Sorry.
Yep. An element and two lists and combine them?
Yeah, for example, one element and two lists, or one.
I mean, you can combine, you can, of course, make more complicated expressions that use these two. I mean, what you're describing, using these two operations, you're going to be able to do that by combining them, okay?
Yeah.
Tell me, in case I don't answer, in case after you've been through this, that you don't understand what I just said, okay? So this is about putting an element together with a list, okay? And it goes on the front. This other operation, which is pronounced append, it's written with two pluses. The brackets around this, the parentheses around this, are used to take an infix function and make it into a function name, okay? That's all that those parentheses there mean, okay? When you write it without the parentheses, then it's for use in between arguments. When you write it with the parentheses, it's the name of the function. Okay, that's Haskell notation. So anyway, append also joins together, it doesn't join an element onto a list, it joins two lists together. So it takes the first list and the second list, and it puts them together to make a list which has the stuff in the first list and then the stuff in the second list. So it joins them end to end, okay? So an example of that is here's two examples. So the list containing just the number 1 appended to the list containing 2 and 3 gives you the list 1, 2, 3, or also the list containing 1 and 2 appended to the list containing 3 gives you the list 1, 2, 3 as well. So those are two ways of getting that list. And there's some examples down here with lists of characters or strings, okay? Notice that since lists always have uniform types of elements in them, you don't have lists that have some strings and some numbers. They're either all numbers or all strings or whatever. Okay. So the type of cons here says that the type of the item that you're adding on to the list has to be the same as the type of the elements inside the list already. Okay. So that's why it's A, arrow, list of A, arrow, list of A. So you take an item of type A, you take a list of items of type A, and you get a list of items of type A. So always the same type of elements here. And likewise with append, you can only append to lists that have the same kind of elements, and the list that you get has, again, that same kind of elements. Okay? So this is just straightforward ways of putting together lists. And cons is a special one, and you'll see why in a second, okay? Okay, it's easy to confuse these things, okay, because they have similar types, but they're different, okay? So cons is for putting one element onto the front of a list. Append is for joining two lists together. They can have any length you want, from empty up to, you know, long, okay? And for that reason, it's easy if you make a mistake here, to produce something which gives you a type error. Like here, we're trying to cons a list of integers onto a list of integers. That doesn't work because we're only allowed to put a single integer onto a list of integers.
Okay? That's the first type error there. Okay, the second one, again, append is not for joining an element onto a list, it's for joining two lists together. So the first argument there is the wrong type. Okay, and so forth for all these other examples. So these are all type errors because they're using, really, it's because you're using one of these functions and you really mean to be using the other function. Okay. You may find, well, first of all, this means you've got to keep these straight. You'll find yourself using cons more than append, it turns out. You might find this annoying, okay, because, you know, why can't the computer just figure out what I mean here? It's kind of obvious, if you look at these examples, what I really meant to say. Okay, the third one, it wouldn't work with cons either, okay, because it only works when when the first thing is a single element, and then you join it onto a list. Not this is the wrong way around. If it were cons, okay. Anyway, why can't it just figure out what I mean? Okay. Now the answer to that is when you write something that isn't quite right, and you depend on the computer to figure out what you mean. Sometimes you're lucky, and sometimes you're not. Okay, sometimes it gets it right and sometimes it doesn't. In these very simple examples, it's really obvious. It'll probably be able to figure it out, you know, if you had an imaginary figuring out program that would do that for you. But if it was really complicated in the middle of a complicated program, maybe it would get it right. Maybe it would do what you wanted it to do. Maybe it wouldn't. And suppose it wouldn't, imagine trying to track down a bug which is, you know, caused by the computer thinking that you thought something different from what you really thought, and it's very implicit and confused, and forget it. You'll never find bugs like that. So it's much better to write what you mean, get it right, and computer won't complain then. Okay, you got that? So this is the power of, you know, the power of a type system that kind of makes sure that you're not using things in the wrong way. It's a little bit pedantic and annoying, but it actually protects you from making mistakes. Okay, and actually what you find out, okay, these sorts of examples, you sort of just think, oh, this is really annoying and stupid, and why do I have to do this? Okay, but you'll find when you write bigger programs that the type checker often finds a place where you've actually got confused, and not confused about little things like append versus cons, but actually just misunderstanding something, okay? And it's not a typo, it's what you might call a thinko. All right, and it actually tells you, you know, this place in your program doesn't make sense. Okay, sometimes you can fix it by doing something as trivial as changing the cons to an append or the other way around. Sometimes you realize, you know, oh no, I've just misunderstood that bit. I've got to do it differently. Okay, so it's actually really helpful. Anyway, that was appends and cons. Clear on that? Did I answer? It was you, right? Okay. Now the special thing about cons is this property. So every list you can write using only the cons operation and the empty list. This is the empty list here. Okay. So for example, the list containing 1, 2, 3 is 1 cons on to 2 cons on to 3 cons on to the empty list. I say const onto. That's the sort of way that we functional programmers talk. Okay. Another way of seeing this, actually, the parentheses mean you actually more naturally read it from right to left. Okay. So we start with the empty list. We put 3 on the front. We put 2 on the front of that, and then we put 1 on the front of that, and we get this list. Okay. So. You'll see in a minute why it's important that every list can be written that way. Okay? And not only can it be written that way always, but it can be written in only one way in that way. There's a unique way of writing it like that. Okay? It's kind of obvious when you see it. You just write the lists, you write the elements in order with colons between them, with parentheses the way they are. Okay, but you'll see why that turns out to be important. And so, for example, this string list, of course, that's a list of characters, and that can be written using cons and empty like this as well. Okay, so
And now, what is a list? I've shown you examples of a list, but here is actually a definition of what a list is. Okay? So, and this is a recursive definition. This is your first recursive definition. Recursion is confusing the first time you see it. So if you haven't seen it, this might be confusing. Okay? I will try to help you understand. Okay? So recursive means kind of self-referential. So I'm defining here a list in terms of using the lists in its own definition. Okay, you see I'm defining a list here, and I use lists in defining lists. Okay, so list is either the empty list or it's constructed using cons from a head, which is the, you know, x. So if the constructed list is x cons x's, it's constructed using an element x, the head, and a list x's, the tail. Okay. Now, just contemplate that definition for a second. Okay. So first of all. Before we ask whether it makes sense to define something like that, let's just look at some lists, okay? So here's a list, 1, 2, 3, okay? It's either empty or it's constructed in the way that it's described here. Well, it's not empty, okay? It is constructed the way described here. It's got a head, 1, and it's got a tail, which is the stuff after the colon here. Okay, and that thing after the colon is a list. Okay, so it qualifies according to the second part of this definition as being a list. Okay, but in order to believe that, you have to believe that this thing after the colon is a list. Okay, so again, you ask yourself, you know, is it empty? No. Well, then it must be constructed. Yes, it is. Right? It's constructed from the head 2 and the tail, which is a list, the thing after the colon. Okay, it's the list containing the element 3. Okay, and then again, why do I believe that's a list? Okay, according to the definition here, it's not empty, okay, but it's constructed. It's constructed from the element 3, the head, and the tail, which is a list. Okay, but why is that a list? Well, because finally we get to the end because it's the empty list. Okay, and that's a list. Okay, so I sort of explained why this is a list with reference to this definition. Okay, but I had to use it 4 times. Okay, so that's kind of how recursion works. Okay, it's self-referential, but in a way which always you're defining a complicated list in terms of a simpler list here. Okay, a complicated thing in terms of a simpler thing. I'm defining lists. The second line here is defining a list which is, you know, this long in terms of a list which is a little bit shorter. Okay, and in turn, I'm defining that in terms of one that's a little bit shorter, and eventually I get down to 0, okay, I get down to the empty one. So it all bottoms out, which is quite different from saying, defining a foo by saying a foo is a foo. Okay, it doesn't tell you anything, right? It's no information. This is providing information. It's telling you how to make complicated things out of simple things. Okay, the simple things happen to be a thing of the same kind. All right? Are there any questions about this? I'd kind of expect there might be. I remember seeing this the first time when I was a first-year computer science student a couple of years ago, and thinking it was very, very confusing. Okay, but you get used to it. Okay, you're going to get used to it because you're going to be writing loads of recursive definitions in this course. Okay, the idea that you're defining something in terms of itself in a way that appeals to a simpler version of itself, this is called a well-founded definition. And that's the difference between that sort of definition and just saying a list is a list, which isn't well-founded. Okay, so let me carry on. And I think I'll go very quickly here. So there's three functions that are being used here. Null, which is a function that takes a list and tells you if it's empty or not. Head, which takes a list and gives you the first element. So here we see the first element of this list is 1. And tail, which takes a list and gives you everything except the first element. Okay? So here's just a bunch of examples of those being applied to, you know, starting with this list 1, 2, 3, and working down to the empty list. Okay, the empty list doesn't have a head or a tail. Okay, so those functions, head and tail, would give errors when applied to that. Okay, what I want to push on to here is the first definition, the first recursive definition. Okay, first recursive definition of an actual function. So we've seen already a definition of the function which takes a list of integers and squares all of the numbers in the list. Okay, so that was using comprehension. Here's how you do the same thing using recursion. Okay, so that function, I called it squares. The type was list of integer to list of integer. Okay, I'm going to call this one squares rec. Rec for recursive. Also takes a list of integers to a list of integers, so it's the same type. Okay, and I define it with these two lines here. Okay, now there's a whole lot of stuff packed into these two lines that you haven't seen before. There's recursion, which you just saw a second ago for defining lists, but this is for defining a function, which is again, it's self-referential, but it's for actually defining a computation. Okay, so we've got recursion here. We've got defining functions by cases. So this actually has two cases. One case for the empty list, that's the first line, and one case for the non-empty list is the second line. And we're also using what's known as pattern matching here to do stuff with the argument to the function. Okay. So that's all happening together, all together in these two lines. Okay, so it's quite compact notation for saying something. So let me just sort of read this off to you. So I'm defining squares by separately saying what it does for the empty list and what it does for the non-empty list. So the empty list is the first line, and it's just written as an equation. Okay, squares rec apply to the empty list. Okay, well, it's the empty list. Okay, there isn't anything to get the squares of in there. Okay, so it's just the list of nothing. Okay, so that's a definition for the empty list case. Now, the second line is where all the exciting stuff is happening. Okay, and this is for the case where the list is non-empty. So we've just seen, I'll just flick back to the definition. We've seen that if a list is not empty, then it has this form. Okay, x, cons, x's. Okay, the head, x, and the tail, x's. Okay, so going back to our definition, we've already said what happens if the list is empty. So if it's not empty, it has to have this form, x, cons, x's. Okay, so now we're going to define what it does in that case. Okay, what does it do? Well, it produces a list of integers. Okay, it has to be. That's what the type says. And the first element is x times x. Cons, okay, this is joining the first element onto the rest. And the rest is a list. Okay, and it's defined using exactly the function that we're defining here. Okay, it's the squares of everything else in the list. Okay, so the squares of a list containing n plus 1 elements, it's the square of the first element consed on to the front of the squares of all the other elements, is a way of reading that. And if you read it like that, it sort of makes sense. Okay, if you think, wait a minute, how can I define this in terms of itself? My brain's going to explode, you know, then you might have difficulty. But it actually makes sense. And I'll show you computation using this function. So you see step by step what the computer is doing when it's executing something like this. Okay, and that might also help. And by the way, the book has a fairly, I think, a pretty good explanation of recursion in, you know, a lot of detail so that you can, like, follow it through in case getting this in real time is not working for you. Okay, so we've got two cases. So just before I leave this, you know, importantly, the definition of the data structure that we're working on has a certain correspondence to the function over that data structure, okay? Two cases. The definition here also has two cases. Yep.
Why does it need to have parentheses around the x, colon xs?
Yeah, okay, that's a very good question. Because it's just syntax, okay? Function application binds most tightly in Haskell. Okay, in any functional programming language. So if you left out the parentheses, it would read this as squares rec applied to x, cons xs. And we don't want that. We want this way around. Okay, that's the reason. So actually, you know, recursive definitions. So first of all, I should say recursive definitions on lists will always have two cases, actually sometimes more than two cases. You know, the left-hand sides will always kind of look like that, or nearly always. Okay, very typical example. I mean, often they're more complicated than this one. Okay, so the right-hand side gets more complicated. Right. So let's just go through this. If you find pattern matching confusing. Which I don't think it is, because it's actually a very intuitive sort of way of writing this thing down. Okay, it's just that it's simultaneously doing case analysis and also decomposing, which is something you don't see in, you know, C or Java, in case you've used those languages. Okay, so it's very compact. In case you're uncomfortable with that, this is the equivalent of way of writing it more conventionally using. You know, there's a case analysis using if then else, okay, which is a kind of conditional expression. Okay, the condition tests which of the two cases we're in. The then case tells you what the answer is if the condition is true, and the else case tells you what happens if the condition is false. And we're kind of decomposing the argument into the head and the tail here explicitly. Okay, so. This is an alternative way of writing this. Okay, it means exactly the same thing. It's kind of more explicit. It's more verbose. We usually don't write this because it's actually harder to read and easier to make mistakes with. Okay, but just to show you, it's also possible. Okay, what I really want to do now is to go into an example. Okay, so let's consider squares rec applied to the list 1, 2, 3. Okay, now the computer does exactly what you tell it to do. This is how computers work. Okay, so what's squares rec of the list containing 1, 2, 3? I'm going to go through a whole sequence of steps. Okay, and this is exactly what your computer is doing in its little, you know, head when you give it this problem to solve. Okay, you're asking it to compute the answer to this. Okay, so the first thing it does is it says, "Oh, I remember Don said that all lists are you know, you can write them down using cons and empty. So I'm going to do that. Okay, and here's what that particular list looks like when you write it out that way. Okay, I see a bunch of you writing things down. Now this is great. Okay, just to remind you, these slides are on the web. So in case you're just copying the slides, it's on the web and you didn't have to do that. But, you know, as you like. Okay, writing things down is a good way to remember them, actually. Repetition. I think you have to repeat things three times before you remember them. So write it down three times if you like. Okay, Right, so the next step, so I've written down the list in that way, and the reason I've written that that way is because that allows me to look at these two cases and decide which of them applies. Okay, so does the first one apply? No, the first one does not apply because that list is not empty because it has a cons in it. Okay, does the second one apply? Okay, yes, it does. Okay, and it applies, and the sort of match between the left-hand side of that definition and the list we have, we can match those by letting x be equal to 1, okay, which is the thing before the cons, and letting x's be the thing after the cons, namely this expression here, 2 cons, 3 cons empty. Okay, so we've tried these things in order. They always get tried in order, one after the other. Okay, we found a match, and we've written down what the variables would have to be in order to make that match. Okay, and then we write out the right-hand side of that definition. So it's x times x cons squares rec of x's. Okay, well, x is 1, so that's 1 times 1 cons squares rec of x's. This is x's here, 2 cons, 3 cons, empty. Okay? All right, any questions? Okay. And we carry on. Okay, we're not done yet. That's just the first step. Okay? We now need to compute, sorry, before I go there. So in order to get the answer here, of course, I need to know what this thing here is after the cons. All right, and that requires more computation. Okay, so how do I know what the answer to that is? Well, I have to look at the definition again. So again, is 2 cons, 3 cons empty? Is that empty? No. Is it a cons? Yes. Okay, where in now x is equal to 2, and x is equal to 3 cons empty. Okay, that's, if I look at this blue expression here, squares rec, 2 cons, 3 cons empty, and I compare it with the left-hand side of this definition here, I get a match by having x equal to 2, having x is equal to 3 cons empty. Okay, and then again, I replace this expression that I'm trying to evaluate with the right-hand side of the definition, substituting in what x is, so 2 times 2 instead of x times x, and cons squares rec of x's. X's is 3 cons empty. Okay? So that's kind of, you know, doing the same sort of thing as I did a minute ago, except that x and x's have changed because I'm considering a different list. Okay? Carry on, because I'm not finished yet. Squares rec of 3 cons empty is not a value. It's a function application. It has to be computed. Okay. And again, is that list empty? No, it isn't. Okay. It's a cons. And it's a cons of 3 and the empty list. So in order to match the left-hand side here, I have to let x equal to 3 and x's equal the empty list. Okay, and then again, the same thing again. I'm writing down, in place of where I had squares rec of 3 cons empty, I write now the right-hand side of that second equation with these new values of x and x's. So 3 times 3 cons squares rec of empty. Okay? Right, we're getting close to the end now. You'll be relieved. You're now happy that I didn't take squares rec of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right, so, and so am I. Okay, so you see we've done this for each of the elements in term 1, 2, 3. It's each of the times that we've been looking at squares rec, it's been applied to a different list, and the lists are getting simpler. Okay, we haven't actually done any multiplication yet. We've just kind of stacked up these multiplications. We'll be doing them in a second. Okay? Okay, what do we do next? Well, we have to compute squares recta of empty. Okay? But luckily, that's a simple thing. Okay, we've already got the definition of squares recta of empty, and it's not recursive, it's just empty. Okay, so we can go from this line to the next line by just replacing the thing on the left-hand side of this first equation with the thing on the right-hand side. Okay, these are equations. It's saying this thing is equal to that thing. So if we see this thing, we can replace it by that thing. Okay, so that's what I've just done. That's the empty list. Okay, and now I've got a computation here which doesn't contain squares rec. You know, whew. Finally. Okay, and so now I can look at this and just compute what the answer is, because what's there is stuff that we know how to compute. You know, we know what 1 times 1 is, and what 2 times 2 is, and what 3 times 3 is. Okay, there they are, 1, 4, and 9. I've just done out the multiplications. Okay, and that's just a different way of writing this list, 1, 4, 9. Okay, so I'm done. So squares rec of 1, 2, 3 is 1, 4, 9. And I've shown you every step along the way. Okay, and you know, importantly, this is exactly what your computer is doing when it does this computation, except a little bit faster, right? You know, it can do this very quickly, and you need to learn how to do this. I did it very slow, well, relatively slowly, okay, and patiently, and a lot of writing if I'd been doing this by hand, okay? You need to learn to do that, because when, you know, maybe all your programs are right the first time, like mine, okay, but in case you ever make a mistake and your programs compute the wrong answer, you often find yourself having to kind of simulate what the computer would be doing to work out what went wrong. Okay, and that involves kind of doing this sort of thing. All right? And you have to do it in a very patient, careful way. If you just kind of think, I know what that is, and you write down the answer, you may well be deceiving yourself, because that's exactly where the mistake was, okay? So you actually have to go through step by step. So doing this patiently and carefully, there's a word for this. It's called formally. Okay, formally not meaning wearing a tie, but formally meaning following things according to the form, like in formula, you know, form as in formula. It's a sort of, it's to do with writing things out in symbols. Okay, that's what that meaning of the word formal is. That's what we're doing here. It's pretty hard to do this, okay, because it's boring, okay, and it's easy to kind of write something down and make a little mistake, and then the mistake, you know, keeps appearing until you see it, okay, but you need to be able to do this. And actually, this is an example of lots of things in informatics, okay. Informatics is actually about doing complicated things by applying simple rules really fast. Okay, whether the simple rules are like this, computing the list of squares of numbers, or if it's to do with, you know, understanding language or something like that. It all boils down to applying simple rules in a you know, simple manipulation. Okay, which is what we're doing here. So doing this kind of thing is going to happen to you a lot in informatics, being able to do this sort of thing accurately. Okay? Any questions about this? This is your first recursive definition. My first recursive definition I didn't understand when I saw it sitting listening to an explanation. I had to go home and look at it a few more times. Okay? So don't worry if you're in that position, but ask a question if you have anything right now to ask. Anybody? Yeah? The conditions.
Yeah, the conditions. Because before you include them after, but like if you only add, I mean, you only square the even number.
Yeah, okay, that's coming up. Good question, but it's the next example. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, so you're ahead of me. Right. Okay, I'll just carry on here. You're going to be writing a whole lot of recursive definitions in this tutorial exercise. It's one of the main things you're doing. This is just, sorry, you can test using quick check that those two things compute the same thing. Okay, and I did that here. I'm not going to show you this working in practice. Actually, maybe I will. I'll quickly show you. I want to show you what happens if it doesn't work. Okay. Let me just. I have something here that I prepared earlier. I have a version of this where there's a mistake in the squares function. Okay. It actually does x times x times x instead of x times x. And I did this just to show you what happens if quick check. What happens when quick check finds an error? Okay. So I put that in a file called buggy squares, and buggy squares has a it has a function called prop instead of prop. Let me see. Instead of prop squares, it has something called prop buggy squares, which is checking to see whether buggy squares gives the same answer as squares rec. I'm just doing this to show you what happens if your quick check thing finds a mistake. Okay, this is just it getting ready to run, and this is it telling you, no, it's wrong, okay? And it tells you a counterexample. It tells you that for the list containing 2, only the number 2, it doesn't work, okay? It actually tries to find a minimal counterexample, which is what it's doing here, okay? You can actually run this again. It might find a different counter. Yeah, so it also doesn't work for the negative, a list containing a negative number, okay? So, you can see it's doing random. Well, sometimes, yeah, sometimes gets one thing, sometimes gets the other thing, because it's doing random test generation. Okay, so this is what happens when your property isn't true. So, useful. Okay, now let me go to an example where there's guards, like you were asking about. Okay, so here is filtering the odd numbers from a list. You saw a comprehension to do that. That was here. Okay, here is the same thing with recursion. Okay, so in the comprehension example, we had what I called a guard, which was, you want to take x drawn from x's, but not any old x, the ones that are odd. So we throw away the ones that aren't odd. And here's what we do if we want to write that same function recursively. Okay, so we have here two equations, but the second equation is more complicated because it's got this guard in it. Okay, the empty case is easy. It's nearly always easy when you write recursive functions. Okay, it's always the non-empty case that's work. Okay, so the odd numbers in an empty list, well, that's the empty list. Okay, but suppose that that the list isn't empty. So then it has a head x and tail x's. So then there are two cases what we should do, really corresponding to whether the first element is odd or not. So essentially, if it's odd, we keep it. If it's not odd, then we throw it away. Okay. So saying that a little more slowly, the guard tests to see whether it's odd, is odd of x. And if that's the case, then the answer is x cons odds rec of x's. Okay, so this is the list containing the odd numbers everywhere else in the list. And we add x onto the front because it was odd. Okay? Now, if x isn't odd, otherwise, it says here, then we throw away x and we just return the odd numbers in the rest of the list. Okay? So this is the syntax in Haskell. Vertical bar here to indicate that we've got a guard. Okay? The guard is an expression. Could be any old expression. Okay? Typically it's an expression containing the variables from the left-hand side, okay? And then the right-hand side gives the answer in case that guard is true. And otherwise is a special guard. It's actually, it's just a name for the for true, okay? It's always going to be true. It's going to always be the last thing in the list because it's what happens, it's what's you're going to do if nothing above held. You can have a sequence of these things. It can be longer than two cases. Okay? Okay, is that clear? It's a good idea to use indentation the way I have here so that the equal signs line up. It's otherwise a bit confusing to read these things. Okay? Especially when the guards are long because you know, you're sort of reading along and then suddenly there's an equal sign in the middle and you're kind of wondering what's that doing there? And you have to sort of separate out into the kind of left-hand side, the guard, and the right-hand side. These are sort of three components. Okay, it's a good idea if these line up here so that we can see, you know, here's the first guard, here's the second guard, and so on. So I recommend strongly that you format things kind of like this. It doesn't matter how many spaces, it kind of matters that things line up. Okay, it's really hard to read otherwise. You'll get confused, and anybody reading it will get confused. Okay, questions? I'm trying to get to the end of this because you need it for your tutorial. Okay, again, you can write this out using kind of, if you don't like conditionals, sorry, if you don't like, pattern matching, you can write it out like this, but it's not really a very good idea. Okay, but here's how we do now a computation. I'll do this a little quicker. Okay, so the odd numbers in the list containing 1, 2, 3, okay, again, we write it out like that. And here is the first step of computation. We look at odds rec. It's not an empty list. It's not an empty list. And so we do a pattern match against the left-hand side. X is 1, X is 2, cons 3, cons empty. And then we look at the guards. Okay, and the guard, the first guard is true, is odd of 1, is true. Okay, so that means that we're interested in the right-hand side corresponding to that guard. So here it is written out, x cons, odds rec of conses, and we replace x by its value and x is by its value. Okay, I'm not going to go through every step here, but let me just go back up one. Okay, well, sorry, let me go back two. So here was the case where the guard was false. So we're in the otherwise case, and the right-hand side there was just odds rec of x's, leaving out the one which was not odd. Okay? So going down to the case where odds rec is applied to empty, answer is the empty list, and that's the answer to the computation. Okay, that was a little quicker than it was a minute ago, but the same basic process. Only thing being different is that this one had guards in it, and so we needed to take those into account in deciding which case we were in. Okay? Again, we could use quick check to make sure these things were the same. Coming to the end of the time, that clock is a couple of minutes early, so I'm going to keep going. Okay? Let me just make the point here that all I'm doing here in these computations is replacement of equals for equals. Okay, it's very simple reasoning. Okay, that's all that's going on. That's all you do in functional programming in order to run programs. That's an important thing about functional programming. It's the reason why it's real. It's very simple down deep. Okay, this is not the case for other kinds of programming. You have to use more complicated reasoning to do computations. Okay, if you go back and look at my last week's lectures, there's some stuff at the end about the rule of Leibniz. Okay, that's about equality reasoning. If you want to go look at that, there's a picture of Leibniz, who was a mathematician 400 years ago or so, who invented calculus and the equality symbol and things like that. Well, he invented calculus along with Newton. At the same time, they had a big argument about who did it first. Anyway, he invented calculus along with Newton, and he invented quality reasoning. Okay, there's an example here. I'm running out of time. There's an example here of sum and product being computed recursively. Sum you can't do using comprehension. Okay, so here's an example where you need recursion. You can't write the definition using comprehension. So here is the definition using recursion. Okay, and last time I talked about the identity element being the case of sum for the empty list. Okay, and the reason is because if you look at the result of this computation, you know, the list contains 1, 2, 3, so we want 1 plus 2 plus 3, okay? But we need to end with the sum of the empty list, so plus 0. That makes it the same as 1, 2, 3. And again, for product, similarly, 1 times 2 times 3 has to be times the product of the empty list. That has to be 1 in order to make the answer come out right. So that's why this is the identity element for product here. I'm kind of whizzing through this quickly. You can look at this afterwards. I'll just finally, you can write the recursive definition of the sum of the squares of the odd elements in the list. Remember, this comprehension definition here using sum. Okay, you could do the same thing recursively here. Okay, again, you can work out what that does step by step. Okay, and that's it. That's recursive definitions. You're going to be seeing these a lot. You're going to be writing them a lot. Make sure you understand this. Okay, and don't forget to do your tutorial exercise and bring a printout. So you'll have to print it out yourself. It's on the available from the course webpage.
Okay.
All right. I made enough copies for everybody, so somebody must have taken two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question about when you use is odd. Is that function defined?
No, you have to define it yourself. You have to find somewhere in the program. In fact, it doesn't matter if it's early or not.
Oh, okay.
The order doesn't matter. Okay, but it's if you look, there's a definition in the, so if you look at the course webpage and you look at the lecture I've been giving, there's some Haskell code that you can download as well, and it has the definition in case you can't tell it yourself, but it's a simple little definition. Okay?
Yeah.
Given mod of good. Okay, so the video started appearing yesterday. Yeah, sure, I understand. The one from yesterday was up by last night. I hope it's going to be like that now that they've started putting them up. The only problem is they've screwed up with the videos. So for some reason, they've put somebody else's video in for the Monday lectures. Okay, so I don't really have any control over that, but I've already recorded it, and I think so it might take a little while. Okay, but that's, yeah. The slides are definitely there, yeah. Okay, sure. Right, let me just clear up, and then we can go out, and the next guy can have his lecture theater. Yeah, we've got...
questions?